ahead and call to order the November 15th regular meeting of the Madison Plains Board of Education. Would you call roll, please?
Mr. Dodds?
Here.
Mr. Buds?
Here.
Mrs. Cooley?
Here.
Mr. Hunter?
Here.
Mr. Mason?
Here.
Detweiler and I are also here.
Please stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So that takes us to public communications. If anybody has not signed up yet, go ahead and get signed up. Other than that, we'll go ahead and we have one person signed up to speak. So she just signed up, so whenever you're ready, you can come on up and state your name and address, and the floor is yours.
Hi. My name is Ashley Stroh. My address is 315 State Street 322 South Sterling. And I was hoping to have more people here with me supporting why I'm here. First of all, I just want to ask, am I allowed to ask a question? Or is it just me speaking?
It's just you. You can ask a question, but we probably won't have an answer, so we will direct somebody to get you an answer and get back to you.
Okay, I just wasn't sure of the procedure. Okay, I want to start off by saying that I came to my first meeting a couple months ago, naive, thinking that all I needed to do was express my opinion and the opinion of the parents, and that's all it would take. But now I see that I was wrong. The opinions of the parents take no precedence with the board. The strain the board is putting on the parents and this district is unreal. And then this is the questions. Do you have children that go to Madison Plains that are in the elementary school? Are you going to use the latchkey program that is a possibility? And are you having to pay for child care for your kids with this new change? It's almost laughable to me, being not familiar with the system, that the board is making this drastic change to the families to allow only one more year of in the green. What happened 3 years ago or 2 years ago, that this deficit was seen, because I came and now know that we have a five-year plan that has this all laid out. So what happened 2 and 3 years ago, why wasn't a levy put up? The community's minds may have changed from the past time that a levy was attempted. But I guess the board won't know that. And as of the pros of the two-tier busing that Mr. Detweiler put out there, in my opinion, many others, they're cons. My children are in activities 4 times a week, and we're in elementary school, so we still need to have time to get to our events. The kids will not have more time to eat, relax, or maybe even do homework. K through 6, now being a shorter day, I thought the whole point of school was to come and learn, not to just shorten it every single year, as it has done since 14. And so I'm not sure what you're going to be taking out. Shorter lunch, which is only 20 minutes, or recess, which I think is only about 15 to 20, I'm not sure. Also, with this new change, the full-time employment of bus drivers, to me, that sounds like you're now having to pay more money for the bus driver, so spending more. So I don't see the difference of making up the extra route mileage for the buses, the money you're going to be getting from the state, which will in turn potentially pay for latchkey, the building being used, the staff, the snacks. To me, it sounds like it's going to offset. Maybe the funds are coming from different things and they all won't be used, from that extra mileage. I guess now I've come to the realization that you have voted against the families of this district, but I'm still hoping that something will be done before next year, which will stop the new time change. I wish I could throw my name in for Mr. Hunter, who I would have, I'm kidding, but I say this, I wouldn't have voted for you for the commissioner if I knew you were going to be leaving the board, as in you were the only one who voted against this plan. So to me, you're the only one sitting here that has the parents and the community in mind. I know that the school works on money, I know you have to have money, but to me, the board hasn't done anything to get this money any other way. And now, with 1 year out, you're changing it, I don't know. Let's see. I thought that the board members were parents like me. but I see we're different in our views. I hope that someone fills your spot that is going to be a parent like me. I wish I could do it, but I'm stretched pretty thin with four kids and working and a husband who works at nights, so I do not have the ability to throw my name in the hat for that. I guess that's all. I also just really hate the comparison to the other school district. We're not any other school district. I think that's just not a smart thing to do. And also, what also kills me is that the very first survey, are you satisfied with the current one-tier busing? 81% responded with yes. And the teachers, majority of the teachers said, would you change the one-tier system? No, they wouldn't change. So, oh, and then also, the last survey that you sent out, I'm not sure if everyone read it, but, you know, I would say 95% of the comments are negative. So again, your parent and your community is telling you what they want, what they feel, and I don't know, it's just a slap in the face to have it not be considered or honored or looked at to find a different way. So that's it.
Okay. Thank you very much. So we'll move on to board work session, which takes us to Mr. Spolzer. That is your time for your report.
Everybody's ready. I was told the other day I have 1 minute to do this. Some of us don't type as well as others.
We'll give you 9 more, though.
I guess first of all, I can tell you that this week I've been in Columbus for a Catholic conference. Probably one of the best state conferences in the United States and better than the national conference, which you might consider. It comes up in next April and is in Denver. It's a good experience, and you get a feeling for what's going on nationally as opposed to statewide. Anyway, with that out there, I will say I got to talk to Tim and Todd and Joe Penny today, so I'm pretty much caught up on what's going on here. I really appreciate that. Some good things are happening. The other thing that I wanted to do as far as report on Madison Plains students and tolls, we just finished a few weeks ago the first quarter of the year, and I'm really proud of it. We have 49 students from Madison Plains at tolls this year, which represents very close to 30% of our eligible students to go to tolls. But out of those 49 students, got it on here somewhere. Yeah, 18 of them have a GPA somewhere between 3.0 and 4.0. So what I want to do is announce those names. We have 3 levels of honor roll. The first one is distinguished. These are kids who maintain a 4.0 average. And our 3 students are Casey Eldridge, Cole Hale, and Casey Carmen. Took play on the roll, and this is students with a GPA of 3.5 to 3.99. Those students are Rachel Morris, junior in criminal justice, Serenity Morris, junior in culinary arts, Taylor Priest, the junior in cosmetology, Wade Sizemore, a senior automotive technologist, Casey Swaggerby, senior firefighting and EMS, Michael Waller, junior automotive collision repair, Caitlin Wilbert, junior pre-vet, Elizabeth Wilson, junior culinary arts, and that's it for the honor roll. And then we have a merit honor roll, which is from 3.0 to 3.49, and our students in that are Tom Adams, junior automotive collision, Dylan Bird, junior welding and fabrication, Aristelle Dragoo, a junior early childhood education, Kristen Burgoon, a junior pharmacy student, Joe Doherty, junior welding and fabrication, Marissa Hamm, junior pharmacy, and Emerson Hill, junior automotive collision. But I thought 18 out of our 49 students was pretty good to be above a 3 point. And they're doing well in those programs, obviously. The other thing that I did want to report on, most of you know that the job market has changed a little bit from what it used to be. Not quite the same. I've talked about this before, that about a third of jobs, or 3 out of 10, require a college education, 4-year degree required. Want to be a teacher, lawyer, doctor, or football player, you need to go to college. But other than that, 60%, we know right now, at least that's what the job market is, take special technical skills in order to get those jobs. I can't remember the number, I think it's somewhere around 6,000 jobs in the state of Ohio right now that are going without somebody to fill those positions because we do not have the people trained to do those jobs. So they are available. I heard the number nationwide, but I'm not going to put it out there because I can't remember what it is. Anyway, what we've done at Tolls is the board has commissioned a video to be made that tells the story of today's job market, what kids need in order to be ready for either post-secondary education or be able to go into a job with some technical skills. But today, well, years back, we used to ask kids what they wanted to be when they grew up. Not the question anymore. The question today is, how do you want to live? And that's pretty much determined by how much you earn. And the earning potential today is pretty much based on education. Obviously, top jobs, top pay are going to be 4-year college degree or beyond. That hasn't changed. But again, if the career that you're looking at does not require college education, then your point of going to college really isn't worth it. It's a big expense that you would have and not be able to find a job with. Employers no longer hire college graduates because they're college graduates. Employers today are looking for people who are trained and have the skills that they need for that job. So anyway, the video that we commissioned is now online, and you can take a look at this. I didn't have a handout. But all of you should be getting, or you already have, the report or the agenda with all the information on it, with primarily with the supervisor's reports from Leanne Weeks at Toll. So if you didn't get it, you will be getting it. And if you did get it, it's in there. So take a look. But if you want to take a look at that video, and I'll tell you up front, it is, it looks somewhat like a recruitment program for Toll, but the point of it is, and if you watch it, you'll get that, is it tells the story of what these kids have got to have. As far as what we're doing, Madison Plains and Tolls are essentially doing the same thing. We are both preparing kids for post-secondary education or some other type of career, and that's why we're leaning heavily on the life skills, because those are the skills that are important if you go to college. Those are the skills that are important if you're going to go to work, either way. So my point is, what I want for our students and what you want is for these kids to be prepared for whatever they decide to do when they leave high school. And the time to think about that is not the last quarter of your senior year. These kids need to be looking at that, I say, from kindergarten. Now, do they have to pick what they want to be in fifth grade, sixth grade? No. But they do need, during this previous time period, to get some idea of what they want to do, maybe an area that they want to go into, and take a look at what the job possibilities are. And you don't wait until your senior year to do that. They need to be ready. They need to understand the importance of grades. We decide who comes into classes at Polk based on GPA and find out that obviously sophomores get first preference, but there's room for 25 kids in each class, and when we get to 25, we cut it off. Go any farther than that, and we're training too many kids to put out their end of the field, so we quit at a maximum of 25. They go to college or any other post-secondary, the grades are going to be looked at. Their attendance is going to be looked at. And their extracurricular or those things that they've done. So this is important. If you want to take a look at this, and I'll get this back to you, or it should be in your packet, the website for the video is True Pursuit, TRUEPURSUIT.life. And when you get there, one of the first, it isn't complete, but the video is on there. Click on the movie and, or a video, I'm not sure what it's called. Click on that and you'll be able to watch it. It's about 27 minutes, so that's why I knew I couldn't get that in 1 minute tonight. Okay, and that pretty much concludes what I need to tell you for tonight.
Okay.
I know I didn't do that again, but I certainly tried. Thank you.
It takes a student recognition.
We have Dr. Unger go first, and we'll have Kim come up.
Once again, I have our students of the month this month. Here's their pictures. So take a look and see who they are. We have one person here tonight, Nathan Adams. Stand up. Nathan's in the honors band. He just got back from that and had a really good experience there. Favorite class is reading. He really enjoys marching band, especially the state marching band competition, which he just did. This afternoon, as I went down to talk to Mrs. Perkins, he was in there working on his sax and playing the saxophone in there and getting ready for the next adventure that he has. So this is Nathan Adams. We'll see you in a month. Nathan was our 8th grade representative. Go ahead and mention the names of the others. Caleb Dennison was 7th grade. Addison Tessie was 9th grade. Jacob Alkire was 10th grade. Lily Virgie was 11th grade. And Theron Hatfield was the senior student.
Awesome.
If you haven't had a chance, there's Hang in the Commons now, a really nice
yes.
Collage. So the kids see it every day. I think it's really neat.
We have those, and then we have the honor and merit results that are up there too. So I'll need those back in the feed so I can stick them back up. They'll be looking for them in the comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Next up, we have Mrs. Legault.
Based a little bit with you guys and let you know what our students have been doing to kind of reach out not only to themselves but also into our community. So the week of October 24th through the 28th we had Kindness Week, which we did it a week later than what a lot of Madison County probably saw the hashtag MC Kindness Matters, and it was a movement through Madison County to just focus on being kind to other people. So they came to me and said, you know, is there something you can do within the building? Is there something you can do with our students? I worked with Mrs. Jones to coordinate a lot of our efforts that we did, so kudos to her. She's our guidance counselor, our school counselor for grades K to 6. But the goal was to build a sense of community, not only throughout our buildings, but also start reaching out into the community so they knew what happens beyond the walls here at Madison Plains. So Monday, when we talked about having a Spirit Week, on Monday they wore shirts for a cause. So we had kids who had breast cancer shirts, Down syndrome shirts, the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation, whatever they want, whatever was near and dear to them. We had one little girl come in who's autistic, and she, the front of her shirt said, autism is, and we turned about, is my superpower on her back. So it was really interesting to see the kids start to reach out and go, oh, I didn't know that about you, and so they could start to learn about each other. Tuesday was being kind to yourself, where students and staff wore red for that Red Ribbon Week that you've heard about for many years, pledging to be drug-free. We all know that there is a drug epidemic that happens in Madison County, so being able to have those discussions with our students that day. Wednesday was being kind to your classmates, and all of the classes worked together to pick out what their theme was to dress up that day. So we had a Western group, and we had a Hawaiian group, we had some who came in their pajamas, and it was up to whatever their class was to determine their theme. The staff, a lot of the staff came in sweatshirts that day and had tags that said, don't sweat the small stuff. So even they kind of reached out beyond. Thursday was being kind to our school and BMP Strong, so everybody came in their green and gold. And then Friday was being kind to everyone. And if you've never been here on one of our Harvest Days, we did it last year, we did it this year, the FFA comes down, our FFA students, and they run activities with our students all day long. And building into that, it allows that partnership from the 712 end to come down with our younger kids and be able to make that collaboration. And talking to the older kids, they could not believe how well behaved the younger kids were, and they listened because they were traveling at times by grade level groups, which is 100 students moving with their teachers. And we had dairy cattle outside, we had hay rides going on all around the campus, and they did like a little ice by hay ride with our students. We had the harvest paint, where they paint like with the soy paint and making different paintings. So they did a lot and put a lot of that together for our students. So that's a nice collaborative day and kind of brought that all together as that culminating activity at the end about, you know, how do we all have to get along to be able to do things like that. And it was one of my favorite days last year. It was one of my favorite days so far this year because the kids, just the memories they made that day, and then hearing from the staff. Mr. Miller and I received several emails from the staff thanking us for allowing the students to come be a part of that. That day also kicked off with high school students doing an anti-bullying presentation to the entire K-6 students. So they did a very nice job, and I appreciate the fact that the high school allowed those students to come down and spend the day with us that day. So on the next slide was that hashtag Kindness Matters. So there, like I said, it was that countywide focus on demonstrating kindness throughout Madison County as a collaboration between not only the schools but also in the community. And they do a pantry pride challenge depending on the age level of your students. And this year we are keeping the Wishing Well trophy. I just actually got this final number this afternoon after school. So last year we earned, it was the first time they had done it, and ours is all just through coins. And so you start talking to the kids about, you know, can you bring in change? And we've carried out 3 5-gallon buckets of change when they came. Just so you know, those are very heavy. It takes a couple of people to lift one. Last year we won the trophy with $416.19. We had set a goal of raising $500 this year, and our students brought in $721.53. And it works out to be 8 cents for every pound of food that go back to our food pantries. So all the money that we raised, that $721.53, gets divided among our food pantries that service Madison Plains students and families. So this is going directly back into us. So that will provide a little over 9,000 pounds of food. So our students and staff do not know that yet. You guys are the first ones to know because I got this information after school today. So they're engraving our trophy and bringing it back. It's a rotating trophy that travels around the county. So, if you would have been in the building during that kindness week, there were all kinds of things going on. Those were some of the hallway decorations we had, what are called graffiti walls. It looks kind of wobbly because I did one of those panoramic photos. But we had one down here in the elementary end where the teachers brought the students down, what does kindness mean, and they put them on post-it notes. Because you can imagine, especially kindergarten and first grade, they need a lot of help spelling those things. But every student was able to add what kindness meant to them. And then there was just a free-writing graffiti wall in the, it didn't copy or take a photo of it very well because a lot of kids wrote in pencil or pen. But it hung outside in the 4-6. But those kids just wrote right on the wall, what does that mean? And then we have our one with our book buddies, is kindness is helping others, and that's where we have our older students coming down and reading with our younger students so that they're all kind of helping each other. So there were just a lot of things happening all over the place that they were embedding into their classroom, but also then carrying that message back home and out with their families.
Okay, let's be your book buddies year-round.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we do a lot of that. 4th, 5th, 6th grade students. We have several students who actually give up their recess time to go help in classrooms and work with younger children. And they come to the office and volunteer to go do that. Just this past week, last Wednesday, we invited in local veterans and active military personnel. They were invited to come in and speak to our students in the classrooms. Last year, as you guys remember, we had a big assembly. This year we decided to bring it a little bit more real to our students. So the veterans, and we, like I said, had some active military personnel, they came in and actually went into the classrooms where we had a PowerPoint presentation that Mrs. Orebeck created that was shared in those classrooms, not only including the history of Veterans Day, there were some videos she embedded into those, but then they had interview questions that the kids could ask the veterans so that they knew that, you know, had some pretty pointed questions that they could ask and have those conversations. And then they shared videos of our own Glee Club singing some songs. Mark, I don't know if you have anything you want to add to that. He joined us that day.
I thought it was very well done. You guys did a great job.
And then our PTO provided Stars and Stripes cookies for a little cookie reception. So if any of the students invited up an honored veteran in with them, they got to go sit and have a little cookie reception, which was nice as well. So there's just some of the things that we had posted around. You'll see some of the veterans in talking to the students. If you haven't walked out the front of the intermediate or seen this, we still have it up right now. One of our aides put that up with an idea from Mrs. Orebeck just to make that an extremely welcoming area. And then if you travel up and down the hallways, you'll see some of the student work. There's all kinds of different things out there. Some of them are starting to come down now with Veterans Day at the end of last week. I thought that was interesting when the teacher did the one about the red poppy, because you'll see those red poppies out that sometimes they're selling, and nobody's ever really stopped to talk about why those are there. So I thought that was just an interesting piece, and I think bringing that into the classroom really made the students gain an appreciation for what that meant versus sitting in that large 700 student assembly. I think what we did last year was great, but I think this was able to allow the students to see these are real people who've had real experiences.
This should play. I don't know if it will now that you have it open Google Slides. Is the video there? Is it?
No.
Okay. You can go to the website and see all of the entire slideshow that's out there with all three songs that the Glee Club sang. And our Glee Club is preparing their next community outreach when they'll go out and do caroling in some of our local communities, which is what we did last year down in Sedalia. I don't know if Mrs. Orbeck's talked to you yet, but I know that's on her radar.
Yes,
things. But
she talked to me.
We're also looking at maybe doing it a couple nights and hitting a couple of our communities around and traveling with our Glee Club. And our Glee Club are students who give up their time during the week, during the recess time, and come in and chose to be a part of this. So we've got a lot of fun things going on with the kids right now. Thanks.
Go ahead and open the process. Anybody speak to this mic?
Yeah, that's fine.
With Mr. Hunter's victory in the election, there is going to be a vacancy on the board. The other slide, the other PDF you have is the information that was provided by our board attorney. This is just a summary of dates, and this can be modified. It's for discussion for you as the board. I put it together just to make it easy to talk about. The board approves the filing of filling a board seat vacancy process tonight. If you say yes, this looks good, then that gives kind of Todd and myself marching orders to do the work for you in the background. The next one would be for the treasurer to advertise a notice of vacancy and solicit interested candidates to submit applications. Looking at that is starting tomorrow through December the 12th. The areas we would advertise to the right: board meeting December 13th. At that meeting and for the next 7 days, the board could decide to do candidate interviews. The seat is vacant on January the 3rd. The organizational meeting currently is scheduled for January 10th, and that's where we run into a problem. We have two higher revised code sections we're trying to satisfy. One says that you will have your organizational meeting by the 15th day of January. The other one is that we can't fill a vacant board seat until 10 days after it's vacant. That puts us on the 13th. But we also have to have that position filled by the next regularly scheduled meeting after the vacancy occurs. So that puts us down between the 15th and the 13th as to when we can have a board meeting. Okay. Friday is the 13th of January. I don't know if you're superstitious or not, but you also have Saturday the 14th and Sunday the 15th. I had suggested that we reschedule for January the 13th. I'm talking with Jessica, she said, you are absolutely in this unique situation trapped into the 13th, 14th, or 15th for that meeting. So the first appointment date is January 13th. The last day we can appoint is February 1st. But if you have a regular meeting between January 3rd and then, you have to appoint that meeting. It has to be at the next regularly scheduled meeting. So that's why I say there's two different code sections that are trying to get you to do two different things that brings you down to the 13th, 14th, or 15th. So that's a tentative schedule. I'm open to suggestions. Todd's open to suggestions. Anything you want us to do differently, we can modify that, change that. But if it stays the same, that's going to be part of the information we push out to the public. Here's our schedule. Here's when you can apply. Here's where you can apply. All the applications will come into your clerk treasurer to keep for you. I don't know how you want to go through that process from there.
Is there a set application or what? What are these people going to go do?
We can get one from school boards or our attorney. Really, that's part of the discussion, too. If there's information you want particularly to come from the applicants, we can put that in it. We can get a canned one, but this is for you to discuss. If there's something unique that you want as far as information that we request, we can include. If you just want their background and why they're applying, I mean, it's really up to you guys.
Mainly just a resume.
Yeah, resume would be fine with me. I think the 13th is fine too. I mean, you guys okay with Friday 13th? I mean, we got 2 days, Saturday or Sunday, right? So
Friday's okay.
That's fine with me.
Time okay? That still
Okay.
7 o'clock, 7 o'clock on Friday the 13th.
You have to bring about me. Keep looking at me. I'm out of this.
You know, I'm still going to look at you while you're here. Sorry, Dave, it's happening.
Yeah, I feel I'd have done it on the 14th, but that's okay.
Can we move it up to 6?
It's only been
early?
7 years I've been looking at you.
It's 6 o'clock. Can we move it up a little bit? I mean, whatever, 7's fine, but if we moved it to 6, that'd be nice too. But...
Well, I'm okay with 6.
6 to. Can you? Is that a problem?
On a Friday?
That's fine.
If we move it up to 6, would that be okay?
Yep, whatever you guys want.
Let's do that.
We do ask that the resumes be pushed out to the board members before that meeting.
Okay.
Well, we'll have interviews, right?
Yeah, true, but we want a chance to look at them ahead of time. Yeah. So,
do you want Todd to push them out as he gets them electronically to you, just so
yes.
You've got them? You want them all in one shot, or you want them as they come?
No, out? As they come in. I don't want to be stuck with, you know, maybe 20 resumes in a
bunch. As they come in.
Push them out as you get them. That would be better.
To repeat, if somebody says I'm interested in the position, we tell them to send a resume to Todd.
And if that's a snow day?
The 13th.
I mean, we still have our meeting.
That, or we move to the 14th.
Okay. So that'll be our backup.
But again, a snow day for school doesn't necessarily mean your board meeting is canceled. That's up to our conversation on that day. It's a good question.
Well, it is January. I'm just throwing that out
right.
There. We do get
snow. Good point.
I'm just
we'll set the board meeting for the 6 o'clock on Friday the 13th of January.
Correct.
And all resumes will be submitted to Todd. He will electronically send them out to each one of us and then hold the paper copy, and then you can redistribute the paper copies at the next meeting
where you use it either.
Right. Correct?
And then we'll schedule the interviews as they...
On the 13th, that's assuming you
13th.
Set them all up for
you.
Okay. Yeah. Can we ask that all the candidates come to that board meeting so that we have an initial meeting with them before we do the interviews? Is that a good idea, bad idea? What do you guys think?
What was the question?
Should we have the applicants come to that board meeting so we have an initial...
On the 13th?
Uh-huh.
You're going to appoint somebody on the 13th.
Yeah, like you're interviewing in December, huh?
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant the
December 13th.
13th. December 13th.
Well,
that's up to them.
We originally talked about this. Hopefully you could hold interviews after the board meeting instead of having a separate day. You know, it's up to you.
Right.
Whatever
I think it comes down to how many you have as well.
Right.
If you got 3, that's a great idea. If you got 20,
that's
difficult. And as we get closer... We can set up, you know, we can call and set up interviews for you that night or whatever you guys want to do, based on numbers.
So we'll interview the 13th through the 20th of December.
No, through the 20th.
I think we just have to kind of see a couple of weeks before the board meeting what is rolling in, and if we think we're going to have to set up some different dates and times, and we do that then.
And again, another criteria is they must be a resident of the school district.
Just so you guys know, you won't want to do any of these interviews the night of the board meeting. Because typically when it's been done in the past, it takes a lot longer than what you think.
So
the night of
the
board meeting,
nights.
You never know what's going to happen. Board meetings tend to run kind of long at times, so that's just my suggestion.
I'd say right, set aside time specific
yeah,
to that.
Think about it, Dave. I think you have a good point. I think it might be too much that night.
Depends on the number of applicants you get.
Good.
All right. Do you have an online resume poster for us to fill out or an application?
Would the board like that? We can do that.
I just think a resume.
I just think we just want a resume that you have prepared, or have you prepared a resume and submit a resume. We won't have any application online to fill out.
In the end, Tim, I don't think it has to be formal. Just, you know, something relaxed.
Thank you.
And that's all of the discussion.
Anything else to come board work session. I would like to say at this time under board work session, I would like to congratulate Dave on his win last Tuesday night. That's a good win for Madison County, and I wish you nothing but the best. I'm sure I speak for every one of us, but you know, I'm sure you'll do a great job, and I appreciate all you've done here. You know, so we wish you nothing but the best doing the work for the commissioners. Okay.
And you come to any meetings you want.
So we'll move on to approval of the board minutes.
Mr. President, I make a motion that the minutes of the October 17, 2016 and October 18, 2016 meetings be approved as written.
Second. Any discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Okay. That takes it to Treasury.
Thank you, President. I'll be pretty brief this evening. Just want to let you know that I did update the spending plan with the new five-year forecast information that we approved in May. That would be your black column there. It does say October. That is May figures there. And we are within 0.1% of our expected revenue. We are 2.5% under our expected expenditures. So our expenditures were less than what we had projected, leaving us with a balance that is around 10% higher than what we had projected in the five-year forecast right now. So that's at this point in time. Things can change. That's our projected plus actual. So right now we're sitting, you know, approximately $300,000 better than what we had planned in the forecast. You know? And that can change, can go up and down, but we always project conservatively because we never want to be caught off guard. A lot of that, what goes into those projections, are our maximum exposure that we're liable for. So that's why you can see that come in. I'd rather see it sitting at a positive than a negative many times. Other thing of note, we did have our month-end reconciled this month by Marcia Kirk. She's back to work, and so I was glad to see her get right back at it, and she was able to successfully reconcile the month, which I was able to review, and she did a great job. So it's great to have Marcia back. She's back half-time right now, and she's doing a good job, and we're glad to have her back. The other thing I'd just like to mention, we did go to Capitol Conference, did sit through some very good sessions, and the last session that I went to was a state budget update, and it agrees with what we have projected in our forecast as far as the state funding goes. It does look to be that we will not receive much growth in the forecast, much additional funding. A lot of that's due to the state share index. The state share index, a very large component of that, is our valuation, our property valuation in the district. During the last budget, when we had the big increase in CAUV value, it only included 1 year of that increase in the three-year average. The other 2 years were much lower of a valuation, which meant that we had a slightly higher state share index. The next budget will have 3 years of the new CAUV values, the most recent CAUV values, which you all know is much higher, which will cause us to appear much more wealthy. Our land will be, that's where our wealth lies in the district, is in our agricultural property. So it will cause us to appear more wealthy, which in turn will cause our state share index to go down. So if you look at the state share index like a percent, if we're at 29% right now and it goes down to 25%, that's the percent of the funding you get in most of your calculations in the formula. So it lowers and affects about everything in the formula. Now, what will help us will absolutely be the additional funding that we will receive from the transportation funding. So that could keep us off being a guarantee district, back to being a guarantee district, if we generate the additional revenue from the transportation funding that we expect to generate. But I don't see any large growth. That was their point. The revenue statewide coming in a little less than expected. so they don't see as much money going towards making sure that districts receive additional funding in a lot of those areas. They'll probably maintain at best or a slight increase based on the per pupil amount. So it was just interesting to be sitting there and have them talk directly to us by saying the districts that are going to be impacted by this the most are the ones that are highly agricultural. And so that's us. It's kind of a wait and see. The budget, you know, the governor will propose the budget in January. We'll see where we're at. The other thing I'd like to mention is that we'll have our 10-year plan in January that we'll be looking at. We'll have an idea, hopefully by that time, where the governor stands with the budget. I don't know if we'll get it in time. We'll see. But we'll have that 10-year plan to review. We can do a revised 5-year forecast based on that if we need to and file that. And we'll have our appropriations true up if we need any of those in January as well. That concludes my report, unless you have any questions.
The $300,000 budget, where are we realizing that at? Like, where's that coming
from? Well, like for instance, our maximum exposure for our benefits is 8%, an increase of 8%. Now, if we don't see an increase of 8% in health insurance and our benefits, then you know we see a savings there. And so our payroll and benefits, one of our largest line items, our largest expenditures. So when we don't, you know, when that expenditure, our maximum exposure is 8%, if that comes in less than that, then a lot of that lies in the benefits section. If we look at the HRA, for instance, and determine on a quarterly basis that amount's underfunded, then we would have to put more towards the HRA to make sure that that's funded sufficiently.
You know what percent it's running at right now?
The HRA?
No, the one that's capped at 8.
The one that's capped at 8? No, but I can get that for you.
Anything else for Todd?
Thank you very much. So we'll move on to the financial action items.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the Treasurer, the October 2016 financial statements be accepted as presented.
I'll second that. Any discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. All
right. Okay. Floor is yours. Thank you very much. First up, we will start with Mrs. LeGault and her staff highlights.
One thing before as Todd pulls that PowerPoint up to on that harvest day, one thing I did forget to say was thank you to our bus drivers. We had 4 bus drivers who came in. We did bus safety with the students. That's awesome. One of their stations too, where they load board them on buses and get them off, let you do a railroad crossing in a controlled environment versus just being out running the roads. So thanks to our drivers for coming in and spending the day with us too. You guys know one of the things Mr. Wiley's asked us to do is to introduce you to some of our staff. Some you may know, some you may not. So I'm going to be looking at highlighting 3 different staff members at all of our board meetings. Our first one is Mrs. Sandy Mosier. She's a 5th grade teacher, and she has been with Madison Plains for 19 years. Prior to that, you can see where she graduated from Bowling Green with her bachelor's degree. Or her Bachelor's of Science in Social Work, and then went back to Urbana and got her education degree, followed by her master's from Mary Grove College. She married her husband, Mike, a few years ago. I believe it's 4 years ago now, and her daughter, Lucy, just got married this last summer to her now son-in-law, Daniel, and they happily brought in their red-headed little grandson, Tucker, that they have, as well as her 2 dogs, Ellie and Stella. She enjoys baking, and I loved her answer here of trying to be crafty. She'll give it a gallon effort. It doesn't always work out well. Her favorite memories include watching her daughter graduate from college from Xavier University, getting married, when she married Mike, and then seeing her 81-year-old mother see the ocean for the first time, and then also spending her time with her Madison Plains family. And her favorite movie that she enjoys is Elf or anything related to Christmas. Our next one is Mrs. Amanda Kelly. She's one of our paraprofessionals. She works in our ED unit. If you're not sure what the ED unit is, that's our emotionally disturbed students. They have a lot of individual needs, and she has one of the most caring and calm personalities to be able to work with those students. She can de-escalate them very quickly. She's been with Madison Plains for 6 years, and to be working in that environment, you really have to be somebody who's passionate about working with children with those kind of disabilities. Her family includes her high school sweetheart, Richie, and she has two sons, Chase and Kanan, and daughters, Chloe and Carly, who all attend here at Madison Plains. So she's spanning all four of our buildings currently until Carly goes to intermediate next year. Her hobbies include anything involving her children, as you can imagine. There's not much time for anything else other than traveling around with your children. Her favorite movie is The Sandlot, and then her favorite memories include the day each of her children were born. And our last one is Mrs. Mack. Rhonda Mack is one of our second grade teachers. She has been with Madison Plains for 10 years, and 3 years she was, prior to that, she was at other school districts. She has been happily married, as she told me, to her husband Roy for 32 years. They have 3 grown children and 2 grandchildren. And during her free time, now that she says she's an empty nester, they go a couple times a month, they travel down to their cabin in West Virginia where they like to ride side by side. She explained all that to me when she and I were talking about it, what that really means.
Okay.
It's the little sidecars, and they go traveling through the mountains and then out and exploring. I was like, oh, so you sit next to him? She had to explain it to me on that one. And she said some of her favorite memories are being a student when she went through Madison Plains, which is what brought her back here to do the majority of her teaching career.
Cool.
So there you
go.
Well, the reason I asked the principals to start doing that is to show that we know who our employees are and that we have a connection, and to help you guys understand who they are as well. A lot of times you see folks, you don't really, you know, they work here, but beyond that, you really don't know who they are. So we're trying to highlight 2 or 3 staff members each board meeting. So we'll continue to do that. We'll jump right into facility upgrades. Wanted to hit some highlights here. The high school HVAC, Mr. Penny is working with several companies to evaluate that system at the high school. To say that system's been refurbished, retreaded, whatever you want to call it, many times over the years is an understatement. It's the point where there's no parts available, nobody will work on it. So we are looking at a lot of options for that system. First is to come up with pricing for what it would take to renovate, overhaul, or replace. So that'll be on our list of things that are major expenditures coming our way. But we are working on that right now. The water line at the stadium, if you didn't know, there was a water line that was leaking right next to the Scholastic Boosters booth. The biggest problem with that was not just the water leaking out, but it was undermining the track. So it was starting to sink a little bit. So we did get that capped off. We got a shutoff valve in there now that was never in place. And kudos to Brian and Dickie. They did all the work on that, and it was done very well. We had some experts come in and give them some advice. But, now we have to see if we've got a bigger issue with the track moving down the road. Snow fence. Mr. Penny came to me and said, we really need to put up snow fence this year to cut down on the cost of snow removal. We have that out there now. Hopefully you didn't notice it because it's green and it blends in, which is what we wanted. So we have that in the back of the intermediate. Down, where are the other locations, Joe?
Well, west side of the high school and also the south side.
Okay. Last year we had a lot of drifting over, especially by our staff parking area. So that's kind of, hopefully we'll take care of that. So that will save us some money. The high school gym banners, I'm going to jump to that real quick. While I'm doing that, if you want to pull that thing up. Removing the gym banners. If you notice the banners at the high school, this is not it. That's okay. I just wanted to be ready. The banners at the high school, they're on the ends, and they're in that what I call the gray area because they've got that gray background. There's no light shining on it directly. We're moving them directly across from the bleachers on the mezzanine wall up high enough where they won't be messed with. We're cleaning up that wall. We're moving the American flag to where, is it where the team banner is now, the league banner? Is that where it's going, Matt? So we're moving that over and putting the flag so it's more, you can see it easier from the stands. But it's really going to look pretty sharp with our banners across. We're taking the cheerleading banner, we're making an actual banner for cheerleading
So as they win things different years, they can put those dates on there as well. So that's going to be a nice change, I think, to the gymnasium that I think everybody will like.
What are you anticipating that?
When?
Yeah.
It's contingent upon is getting the mezzanine wall cleaned up. We don't want to put the banners over top of a wall that's dirty. So they're working on that. We're getting some, seeing if we can do it or if we can get a quote to have somebody do it pretty cheaply. I think Joe got a pretty good price from someone. So we feel that'll be done before the first basketball game, which is December 3rd, I believe. So we should be in pretty good shape there. The handicap parking, we've had several questions over the last few meetings about our handicap parking. And one of the things we wanted to make sure of when we restriped everything is that we made our facilities more accessible with the signage, with the lights, with the parking being assigned and having handicap parking spots. Mr. Penny did a good job of pulling information, and you have a copy of this. And one of our community members asked those questions. We have copies for that person as well. But what we found out is we have more handicapped parking spots than we're required to have. Now, that being said, one of the things that was important to us was, well, are we making it hard for handicapped folks to get into the elementary building? Just because we have everything we need and then some doesn't mean it's exactly the way we want. And so Joe and I talked about that, and what we've done is we ordered another handicapped spot that we'll put at the end out here closest to this building. Okay. But I wanted to make it clear, we are in compliance above what we're required to have on both ends of campus. So we're going above and beyond what we have to do. So we want to make sure that we, people can get into the buildings easily and accessibly. So that's, you've got a copy of that now, so you guys have access to that information. The community survey. If you can pull up that the survey occurred over the weekend. I expect the results any time. When we get those, we'll talk about when we want to have that conversation. The retreat is an obvious time where you can have good conversation about the results and what we want to do with that information. But we can talk more about that in December when I actually get the information from the survey. Go down to the first goal. The first goal, if you recall, was for us to improve community relations by 50%. I think it's by 2019. Well, we needed to get a baseline to see where we are at. You all saw a copy of the survey before it went out. Hopefully, when we get that information, we'll be able to see where we're at. And from there, we can gauge, okay, if this is where we're at now, we want to be here. And there's a lot of information that's going to help us in a lot of areas moving forward. We've had questions about levies and things like that, and the survey touched on that a little bit, and I think that'll help frame our work moving forward starting this next year. So that's the survey.
Was that sent out through the email?
No, we commissioned Fallon Research, and they did a phone survey of the entire community.
I know they called out home.
Yeah. They didn't call every home. I didn't mean to make it sound like that, but they called. They had a master list, not from us, it's one that they had. So then they guaranteed it's statistically correct. So we'll get all that information from them as soon as we get it, and we'll share it. Okay, let's go on to the child care committee. Yeah, if we can. Child care committee, we met several times. First, to determine, is there a need for additional child care services in our district, in our area? That determination was yes. The committee agreed yes, based on the information we had. We do need additional child care services in the area. The next question was, does a school need to provide it? And that was mixed. I'm not going to say that everybody agreed yes, we absolutely have to do that. It was not. It was a mix. I'm not going to go through this survey. You have it. I'll go through it in detail. At the end of the day, we had two recommendations that came to the top as far as from the committee members. One was to have a before and after school child care program. I've talked about the ESC providing us a child care program through the latchkey option. We've talked about that briefly. The other one was a gap care, basically the time between the runs, having one of the facilities available for parents to drop their kids off or to have them come in on the early bus and be here. The problem with that, you start to see, okay, do we have 10 kids or do we have 125 kids? The more kids you get, it kind of defeats the purpose of having the two-tier busing. So where the responses from the committee came and where I fell was, you'll see later on a recommendation that we at least have a child care program that we contract with the ESC for 1 year to see if it's successful. Do we need to change it? Do we need to modify it? Is it not successful? We market it. We establish the rates to make sure we cover the costs. If we can't cover the costs, then we discontinue the program at the end of the year. I think that's the appropriate thing to do. Again, there is no perfect solution to child care issues in our district, but I felt it was our responsibility to at least provide an option. The majority of the committee felt that way as well, and so you'll see here shortly a recommendation from me for that. The next item is the board policy change review. This was presented at the last meeting. We had pulled it out and voted on it, so now it's at its final reading. If you scroll down, Todd, for anybody that doesn't know, this is the policy that governs the benefits that all administrators in the district receive except for the treasurer and superintendent. We have separate contracts that govern our benefits. This talks to all the administrators here. The first change we made actually was a little bit up. I changed. We took out the hired after July 1st, 2006, because this was originally put in place when we had a rehire administrator who worked 260 days. We only had one. We have no rehire administrators that work 260 days now. And so this section was modified to basically say, if you're a non-retire rehire, here's the number of vacation days that you can get. If you are a retire rehire, here are the number of vacation days you can get. 0 to 8 years of service at Madison Plains, you get 10 days of vacation, whether you're a non-retire rehire or retire rehire. 9 years and over, you go to 20 days of vacation. If you're a retire rehire, you stay at 10. And the reason why I did that is that's the standard. As I go through and I looked at other school districts, that's what the way they were set up. And that's basically to benefit that person that's not yet retired, not rehired. They stay at they go to 20 days of vacation, which is, again, the norm that I saw for all of our 260-day employees in the area. I get that information from the ESC's treasurer. He gathers all that information from all the schools, provides a spreadsheet to Todd and myself so we can get those comparables, and 20 days is the norm. So then the other change was on down. Again, what's stricken there has to do with those employees hired prior to July 1st, 2006. That's that old language that needed to come out anyhow. Then on number 8, I made a couple changes from the last version you saw. It says professional administrators will be reimbursed. Previously it said up to $2,000 annually for the cost of coursework. I changed that to be in line with our other districts around us. Annually for up to 9 semester hours at a rate of $200 per hour, 14 quarter hours at a rate of $140 per hour. Now, first thing I wanted to say is our teachers, we have a pool of $50,000 that's prorated based on however many people apply for reimbursement. And so it's not practice that we haven't participated in at Madison Plains. We've had that for many years here. I wanted to make sure that those administrators that we have that are going out to improve themselves academically are reimbursed for that, especially if it's, well, particularly if it's for us. It's a benefit of Madison Plains. And that next sentence, the coursework must be approved in advance by the superintendent in order to be reimbursed, is the guarantee that it's going to benefit Madison Plains. If somebody's going out to get a certificate in an area that we don't want them to get it in, go right ahead, but we're not going to reimburse them. So, and if the administrator leaves the district within the school year following the reimbursement, then the administrator must reimburse the district. Okay, that's the same language that we have for the teachers as well. So that was added because I thought I don't want people to get reimbursed and then go somewhere else with their new degree. So they need to stay here. So those are the two changes that were made to that. Kind of brings us up in line with other school districts and what I think is appropriate.
Is 9 semester hours enough? Is that, does that?
14. Right.
Up to 9, right? Or 14 at 140, but is that enough hours for one person? Is that like for typical?
Well,
I don't know.
If you're a full-time employee, to pull down more than 9 semester hours, you're almost overdoing it to where you can't do your job. I mean, I think that's where that number comes from. It's an easy way to say, hey, we want you to do this, but we don't want you to go get 2 years worth of stuff in 1 year because you're not going to be focused on your job. So that was the number I saw in almost every school. And as I read through it, I'm like, okay, they want to make sure they don't overdo it. Okay. Then the student parent handbook updates, grading policy changes. These are more the practices than versus the policies. We've already gone through the heavy lifting of our averaging of final grades, weighting grades, the grading scale. We had a long process there, and that's already in place and has been. What you see in the red are those things that I consider to be our practices. We started this year by sharing this information with our staff, letting them know this is kind of where we're headed, and hopefully that's what they're using as their guide. What we'd like to do is have the board approve this so we put it in the handbook so the parents have access to it. What we've had up until this year was this teacher might say, okay, for late and missing work, here's what I'm going to do, and a teacher right across the hall saying, I'm doing something different. And that's no fault of the teacher because we had not put it in guidance anywhere. Okay? So this is our way of saying, okay, we're not only going to include the policies, but the practices, what we want you to do on a daily basis, extra credit, grade replacement. Those things will now, the parents will know what the district's policy is on grading practices. Okay? So that was put out at our last meeting. You'll have it tonight to approve to put it in the handbook. If you have anything that's troublesome or anything like that that you haven't seen up to this point, let me know. But it's pretty standard stuff, and the grading committee worked really hard on this. And again, this wasn't driven by administration. It was heavy with teachers because we wanted them to tell us what they think is best practice. So.
And it'll be retroactive to the beginning of the school year?
Yep. The principals have been telling folks that, okay, this is as far as practice goes. Because again, we didn't have anything governing it before. This is what we'd like you to do. And now this is what we are doing. Plus, we can share it with the parents. That's the main thing. We want them to know. You know, if your child's trying to get a grade replaced, they should know. It doesn't matter who the teacher is. The district should have that practice in place.
So on your grade policy here that you sent us, extra credits on page 7. Where's page 7 at?
Is the hard copy? Yeah. I noticed that, too.
On the computer, I don't see it.
When it scanned it in, it scanned every other page. The last meeting when I gave it to you, it had everything in it.
So. Okay, just make sure when we get this stuff in there that
sure.
It needs to be on there so everybody can read it.
Absolutely. I didn't notice it until we sat down and seen that. Okay, great.
How are we going to notify parents once this goes into effect?
Typically what we do is normally the principal sends something out, but something this big, you know, when it's the handbook, we'll probably send out a notice or one call or something like that, letting them know to go to the website to see it, and we'll point them to it. So. And next up, tolls information. It's that time. Mr. Schwong has done a great job, but we have to decide, not tonight, but the board has to decide at the next meeting who the tolls representative will be. You've been provided with information from our district attorney on what the criteria is for that person to be representative for the board. I provided the letter from Mrs. Wilson, the superintendent of the tolls, saying, hey, can you please provide that information to us by our January meeting so we can vote on it as well. So it kind of gives us a rough timeline of what we need to do and the work we need to get done. Again, I just provided that as purely informational for you guys, so you know that that's something we have to get done. Not on the list, but the I will be seeking from you this week dates in January for the retreat. Obviously, we have a meeting on the 13th, but later that month, we need to have the board retreat, the second half. We have a lot of things we need to go over. 10-year plan is a big one. Obviously, levy discussions, things like that. We really need to get through that information. And we'll have OSBA here again to talk about board protocols and how we work together. We'll have a new member at that point. So, but I will solicit dates in January that work for you, the second half of January preferably. Okay. And the other thing I had is I wanted to say congratulations to the marching band. I know Tim is here. I saw him up there. We may not have the biggest band. We didn't get the superior rating. But I think we had the loudest parents, the most proud parents. People knew Madison Plains was there, and Brunswick Stadium is a big stadium. So you feel a lot of pride when you're sitting there and all the parents are going crazy. And the kids know, I mean, they can tell, and yet they get fired up. So it's a really neat event, and if you haven't been to one, I think you should go. But I thought it was a really great day for Madison Plains. Kudos to our marching band. They did get an excellent rating, which awesome. Is the second highest. So considering our youth in the band, they did a great job. And I think that's all I have. Thank you very much. Let's move on to new business.
I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the first reading of the following board policies as presented: GBP, IGEE, JEA, and JEG.
I'll second.
Any discussion?
So say I like that idea of them getting diplomas to the veterans. It seemed like it's a helpful process going through the county Veterans Affairs. So hopefully, if we can advertise that, I don't know if we put it on our website or paper advertise it, but you know, I definitely think that's a honorable thing to do.
Yeah,
we can kind of think how we can educate people, you know, even if their family member is deceased, we can still go about doing it.
Okay. Look at that, that's a good idea.
Any further discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the second and final reading of the following board policies as presented below: IGBM, KBA, GBL, and JO.
Second.
Any discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the second and final reading of the following board policy as presented below: GCBC-2.
Second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Abstain.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board accept with regret the following resignations: Carol Virgie and Tracy Johnson.
I'll second that. Discussion?
Carol was concerned about the responsibility of the job and how it keeps growing, and I think we so often forget how difficult being a bus driver is. It's very much appreciated the work they do and how hard it is. Mrs. Johnson, her husband has taken a job out in Arizona, so she will be joining him to move out there.
Awesome. Any further discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board award the following supplemental contracts to be paid in accordance with the adopt a negotiated contract for the 2016-2017 school year as listed below.
Second.
Discussion? Call roll, please. Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve language correction to motion 16-164 to read that upon recommendation of the superintendent, that the board employ Mike Dodds on a volunteer basis as head varsity volleyball coach for the 2016-2017 school year.
This was simply that the motion was changed from what it originally was written to read that Mike was doing it on a voluntary basis, so I'll make sure that's correct.
Further discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Abstain.
Motion carries 4-0.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the title correction to the following supplemental contract from the October 18th, 2016 board meeting. Jeremy Dill, assistant varsity boys golf coach.
A second.
Discussion?
Again, that title was an old title. It was changed during negotiations, and so assistant varsity coach is now.
Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent of the board approve the following additions to the 2016-2017 substitute A list, Brooke Mayab and Ashley Reeves.
Second.
Any discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President, I make a motion upon recommendation the superintendent board authorizes the superintendent to enter into an agreement with the Madison County Champaign ESD to provide a before and after school child care program for the 2017-2018 school year. The program is to be self-sufficient. The program will be evaluated in the spring of 2018 to determine if the program will be continued into the 2018-2019 school year.
I'll second that. Any discussion?
When this is saying enter into an agreement, do we know the terms or what the cost is going to be?
Well, we set the terms. Basically, what happens is the ESC sits down with us and said, okay, we advertise, we see how many students want to be enrolled. We determine what our cost is based on if you have 20 kids and you only need two people in the class, here's what the cost would be. And that's what you set the price at to cover that cost. So it's, you kind of.
So be self-sufficient.
Right.
Right.
That makes sense. Until you know, if we have 60 kids, then we know we've got two people per class. We sit down with the ESC and they say, here's how much they make. You're dividing it across 25 parents, 30 parents, whatever it is, 30 families, sorry. And then you, that's what your charge is. So it's not like we're just setting a rate saying, here's what's going to be. When we say it's got to be self-sufficient, we've got to be able to cover it. It's going to be based on how many people sign up.
Whatever the final agreement is, do we look at it before it's approved, or is it you're negotiating with them?
Correct. I'm asking you to let me go ahead and sit down with them and establish those rates based on the number of students that want to participate. If you want it to be self-sufficient, that's what governs me. So I mean, if the cost is $10,000 or $5,000, whatever it is, it has to be divided amongst the people that are going to be participating in it, unless the board wants to share in the cost. And that's not what we had talked about. Child care committee said very clearly, if we're going to do it, we want to have it to be self-sufficient.
Right, I don't want us to share in the cost at all, but if it happens to be higher than what we think per family, at least potentially we could chip in some. I don't know. At least we'd like to discuss what we're talking about price-wise.
Well, didn't they say they do that, though? They do it for other schools. So they have some. They had some modeling examples that they brought and said, here's what, on average, these students were, and this is what the cost was. They kind of went through that cost sharing with the committee, because I was going to say the committee did a really good job and a lot of time and detail and discussion, right, Bob? I mean, went into what should we offer, how should we offer it, what options are out there, is there a need? I mean, there's a lot of discussion on that.
Especially the first night. We'll have the information, and I will share it with the board.
Yeah.
It's not, you will not see it. This just allows me to get them lined up to get it going for next year. I mean, they have to do their work as well. They have to see, but okay, they'll tell me, okay, we want you to advertise now so you can start seeing how many people are going to be participating in it. Then they can determine how many people they need to hire.
Is there a minimum number that they have to even?
They did not. The woman that came and spoke to us runs, she's from the SC, and she runs the West Jeff Last Key program. And they've had their prices set for a long time because they've had a steady flow of kids coming through. Our challenge is first year, we're not sure how many we'll have, whether it's 20 or 60 or what it will be. So we're going to have to feel our way through this year, setting up for next year. So if people say, hey, there's 40 of them, they say, okay, you need four people, here's what your cost will be, here's what their cost is.
Here's something to consider. We say there are 40 of them. Month into the program, 10 drop out. Do our costs change?
We will be on the hook for the cost.
So we could stand to lose money. Mm-hmm. The second thing I have to say is it's easy to give somebody something. It's much harder to take it away.
This is their employees coming to our main campus here.
Correct.
Did we run the numbers doing it with our own people compared to utilizing this,
well,
the SC?
When you say run the numbers, we couldn't run a before and after school program. We can run a gap care where we're just opening our gymnasium, and that's really just using your aides. May give them an extra hour or two to cover it. But again, the challenge is there, if you've got 40 kids or 60 kids or whatever it is, then that cost starts to climb because those people are not going to be doing their aid work. They're going to be covering that instead. So that was the challenge there. We did not run numbers, this versus that, because again, I don't know how many kids are going to participate. So if I got 20 kids in it and we use West Jeff's number of what they charge, that's this cost, but I don't know if that's where we're going to be.
Right.
So that's the challenge. That's why this is somewhat open-ended right now. You're basically telling me I can enter into an agreement with the ESC to provide that before and after school care program. But you have to have a little faith in me that I'm going to look at it and say, okay, they want it to be self-sufficient. ESC is telling me, okay, you've got to have at least 30 kids in the program. Well, if we only have 10 people sign up, then we have to debate at that point, are we going to enter the agreement? And I would come back to you and say, hey, we've only got 10 kids signed up. And that's going to cost us money right out the door. So we have to have that conversation. But if we have enough to cover the cost, then I'd be entering the agreement with them, getting things lined up for next year.
Would it be possible before you actually sign the agreement to just run by us what the actual terms of it are going to be?
I surely can.
I just don't like the thought of blind. I trust that you would do a good job, but I'd like to look at it before.
Right. You might not know, Mark, but we sign agreements for purchase services all the time.
Right.
And we do it every day. But I understand this one's a little different because it's new. And I don't have a problem with that at all. I mean, it is new. We got plenty of time. I just want to make sure
gotta get them in now.
That early spring that everything's set in place, everybody knows, and we've got, if we're going to provide a program, it's set up and ready to roll and everything's taken care of. I don't want to get into the end of this school year saying, oh, we still have to figure this out. I just want to be able to say, okay, community, here's what we're doing. Here's running it, who's running it, here's the cost, and so on. But I don't have a problem with that. I just want to be able to start talking to the ESC.
Okay.
And things like that. I won't sign anything until we get in front of you guys, too.
Any further discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
No.
Mr. Hunter?
No.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 3-2.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation, Superintendent Board approve the grading policy change presented for inclusion in the student parent handbook as listed below.
Second.
Any discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Mr. President.
Go ahead.
I'm going roll.
You're fine.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following donations, both from Joe Penning, washer and dryer. Thank you, Joe.
Second.
Any discussion? Right on. Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Do we have an executive session item?
That was a request for one.
So,
Mr. President,
I
make a motion we go into executive session. To enter executive session at 8:26 p.m. for the purpose of one or more of the following under Ohio Revised Code 12122G. Section 1, to consider the appointment, employment, dismissal, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of a public employee or official, or an investigation of charges or complaints against a public employee, official, licensee, or regulated individual.
Is that the only one, Dave?
That should be, unless you want to go Section 5, matters required to be kept confidential by federal law or rules or state status.
A second.
Any discussion?
Take very long.
Sorry, any discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
No.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
And Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-1. Executive session.
We will take no further action after the executive session is over, so.